Groundbreaking. First ever, now second, kazoo solo I think I've ever had in church. We've clearly lost complete control here. I'm kidding. Yeah, amen to that. So I am going to go to the lapel mic, if I might. And I wrote you a good Unitarian Universalist sermon yesterday that featured all of the latest scientific research on whether human beings are altruistic or not. We are, kinda. Nothing's guaranteed. And I had all kinds of nice big quotes from an academic symposium on the giving tree, if you can imagine such a thing, with professors from Stanford and Harvard taking their turn in saying, what is this strange parable about? But not only did I not like what I saw there, it struck me that what we do with parables is we explore them together. Right? When we come across a parable, when we're reading, say, the Gospel of Matthew, as we recently did, some of us, and we come to one of these strange stories that begins with something like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like a tree that gave all its apples and all its branches and its trunk to a boy and was made happy, though the boy was not. Or is he? And when we come to these stories that are meant to illuminate something about our relations to ourselves, to each other, and to the sacred, we explore them together. Because if you think there's one right answer to a parable, you're already missing the point. But instead, to ask, so what does this draw out of me, right? Who am I in the story, or what do I think this thing says about giving, or about the divine? And so, I want to know, what did you think of the giving tree? What was your first response or strong response, or is there a portion of it that completely caught your attention? And let's learn from each other. And then in the end, I'll wrap it up and tell you exactly what the parable is all about. And we'll move forward from there. Work our way and be sure to catch the back.
Hello, I'm Bev Ludwig. And I read this book, The Giving Tree, to my fourth graders the month before I retired from teaching school. And they were quite taken with it, and they decided to put on a play. But of course, there was the boy and the tree, and I had 25 kids in my class. So they decided, well, we'll have the kids be the apples, and the kids be the branches, and the kids be the trunk. So they were, going all that way. And then it ended, and the tree bent over and squirted down, and the boy came and sat on him. And we still had half the class who were not in the play yet. And not only that, the ending of the book was kind of sad. And so the kids said, oh, well, let's have this boy who had a wife and children and grandchildren come alive, and the children and the grandchildren all came out. This is the rest of the class. And they started to plant trees.
Yeah. Anyone else find it to be a sad story? Yeah. Okay, lots of hands. In the back.
Well, I have more of a sound bite than the story. Well, my thought was actually on the sad part, that man is never content, insatiable, and kind of looks a gift horse in the eye kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. Other responses?
Hi, my name... You gonna stand up?
It made me sad because the boy used up the tree. Wasn't there for future kids.
Right. Okay. We'll talk about that.
When I first read this story, my name is Annalisa.
Oh, thank you.
When I first read this story, I hated it. Do you know? The tree gives and gives and gives, and the kid takes and takes and takes, and I kind of felt that was the way it was to be a mother.
Any other... Okay, let the dark truth
now,
be told.
Now that I've really, you know, come to just learn to give without expecting anything in return, I understand the tree, and I feel sorry for the boy.
Do say your name for us, yeah, please.
Oh. I thought of the tree as a planet and the boy as humankind that just takes and takes and takes and doesn't replenish it. And the tree is just a giving source of continual life to us that's eventually getting depleted.
Right. That particular aspect of the story will be explored by Brian, our intern, in 2 weeks. Daphne.
I read the story to my nursery school children when I was the director there, and I asked the kids what they thought, and they all said the tree should have said no sometimes.
Right? If you do take it, if you stick with that aspect of the parable that seems to be about human relations alone, right? Particularly as many have interpreted it about parenting, not necessarily mothering, we'll say parenting, that boy starts as a little child and goes through those stages, and for the most part, the relationship is, it tends to be one way, but there's no denying right around the part that the tree is like, not really. We find ourselves saying, well, why didn't you say no? And I guess that's a question.
Some of you know that I write for One Warm Coat, and this year we wrote a curriculum with KinderCare to help children understand the need for warm coats in the winter. They wanted to use the giving tree, but when we had a group discussion about it, they decided to use the mitten tree, which is a book about older people knitting mittens and hanging them on trees, rather than the tree giving its all.
Okay.
And so.
All right. Another, and then.
Hello. My name's Danielle.
Hi.
And I just wanted to point out, not exactly what it means to me, but I just thought it was interesting that the tree always sees the boy as a boy, even when he's a man, as an older man. It's always a boy. And I thought that was kind of something interesting to reflect on.
Yes. Good. Ellen. Oh, I'm sorry. Ellen, when a microphone comes to you. Ellen.
Yes, I'm Alan. Excuse me. I'm not so much focused on the giving part. The tree is always giving. It's just that the boy, it seems like it's Eden at the beginning, and it's Eden at the end. And all that in between, it's like learning, experiencing. You have to break away from Eden it's kind of Zen in a way. Isn't it? I mean, don't you spend an awful lot of your time in Zen trying to learn until you can unlearn it all and just come back in a way? So that's kind of the way I interpreted that part of it anyway.
Yes, good. Although we might ask, does the boy at the end seem anything like as happy as the boy at the beginning? One thing I observe is that the phrase, "and the boy was happy," is not used even one time in the whole story. On the other hand, when he's in that early stage, do we need him to say it, right? Does a child need to tell you, I'm happy right now? You know, or most of the time, aren't you like, wow, you look really happy, bouncing all over the place like that, or whatever it might be. Okay, a couple.
I'm Ellen Skaggerberg. Back in the 80s, my sister worked for Clare Light Women's Books, and they used to do an annual banned books reading, and we got lists, and we could read anything we wanted. And I wanted to read The Giving Tree. It had been banned by a school librarian for being sexist. So what I read instead, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to get through that, I decided to read The Phantom Tollbooth, which to read aloud from that, which was decided to be a poor fantasy by some school librarian. But as I was listening to this today, I kind of not liked this story very much. But today, the way that I was seeing it was the boy as the kind of restless god of the universe. And the tree would be the creation that is the restless god. It's like, well, what experiences can you bring? What can you, you know, I need to go do this stuff. I need to do this stuff. But it all comes through the experiences of the tree itself, and that's us. And that it's, the way I'm looking at it now, it's not so bad to be depleted by the end of life.
Mm-hmm. Two, three more. Go ahead, please. I just stand up. There's no way for me to choose.
Sorry, I have the mic. So
yeah, that's the way. Yeah, there you go.
I'm Kendra, and what struck me about this reading was that there is no thank you, not just from the boy, but from the tree too. The tree doesn't say, thank you for coming back. Won't you please climb my tree? I love it when you climb my trunk. Or anything like that. So kind of an absence of gratitude on both sides of the relationship.
Very good. Yeah. Had they maybe spoken a little more, somebody could have kept their trunk.
Well, I identified with the tree. And, you know, I'm happy each time I give. And the tree was happy. And to use yourself up by giving is exactly what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter whether the person thanks you or not. That is not the point. The point is to give. Anyway.
All right. Or as I read it, you know, to at least be together. Right? That's the key there.
I'm Natalie. As someone who's not known for having boundaries, I find this story so disturbing on such a deep level. But the one thing that nobody has said that I am struck with every time I read this is, you know, the boy wants, you know, the man with the most toys wins kind of thing. You know, I want the house, I want the family, I want the money, I want the this, the that. And he goes off and for a long time does that. And yet he's always pulled back to the tree. Because there is something there in the tree that I would guess he does not find any place else.
Yeah. The, you know, good. Excellent. Wonderful. Let's do this till two.
I'm Steve. And I really focused on man's propensity to take advantage of and take for granted those people and things over which he has power and really can't defend themselves against him.
All right. Maybe two more, I'm going to say. Two more. And then you can talk about this for all of coffee hour.
I'm Robin Trimble. And I felt that in retrospect that it was more of to everything in all seasons, to each time that he needed, you know, it was there. And in a way, that is our world for us. We all go through different phases in our life, and to have it provided for is what the world has done for us all.
Okay.
I'm Roger De Beers. I'm reminded of Man and Superman. And he wrote, I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the more I give, the more I receive. I want to be a splendid torch to be handed on to the next generation.
Yeah, good. So be it. All right. I can't resist the elders of the congregation. I've got to hear from Ollie, and then we'll be, I think that's our last hand. He's so tall, his hand is like 5 feet up. You can't say no.
I'm glad you said elder, because I was about to use the same term. As an elder listening to this story, I was particularly taken by the returning to the roots and finding comfort and peace.
Thank you. Good. I'll confess the story never made deep sense to me, not until very recently even. I too thought, this is dysfunctional. This is what enabling behavior looks like, right? Yeah, like, oh, you can have whatever you want. You know, it just goes on and on and on to the point of martyrdom and unhappiness. But I was aware, in really trying to read it as a parable this time, one, how easy it is, particularly if you're a parent, to feel like the tree. Oh, I just give and give and give. But if it's a parable worth its salt, we also have to recognize each of us has been that boy as well, right? That child. If in no other way than when we are first born and all of the necessary gifts to even let you live another single day are completely provided by another person. And as Tim Jackson, he's a Stanford religion professor, said, you know, as far as parenting goes, if you're expecting any reciprocity to reward you for your next act of parenting, you got between like 18 and 60 years to wait, maybe, until you finally hear, you know what? By the way, I was awful to you as a teenager. Thank you for putting up with me. Should you ever be so blessed. But when I began to see the tree as the image of the divine, the opposite maybe, or just the flip side, let's say, a different angle from you, Ellen, if we see the tree as the Tao, as the source, as the great big thing, right, which when we are children, we easily and naturally and unthinkingly engage with, right? But then society, whatever that kid is learning when he's not at the tree, telling him to value money and these other sorts of things, right? The tree awaits. The source, the beauty of nature, the gifts he actually needs for his happiness, the tree asks again and again, apples, climbing, swinging, joy? No, I'm to this, I'm to that, I'm to this, and I can't have it. But the tree waits, and the tree gives, right? And the only time the tree is actually not happy in blessing us in our freedom to live as we choose, stingy or full of giving and generosity or however we choose, the one time the tree seems unhappy is when the boy takes the boat and goes away, right? Maybe the tree thinks goes away forever. But then that strange ending when the boy does come back, and what does it mean, right? If we think that relationship is dysfunctional, is that tree rising up one last time to give one more gift? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? But if it is the sacred in our lives, many of us have found that even when it just looks like a useless old stump, wherever we find the glimmer of that spirit of giving and generosity in its life, it does, in fact, like the tree in the whole story, rise up to meet us, right? But that darned boy, that darned boy, like the end is just the two of them sitting on this stump in the middle of a field all by themselves. Like a good parable, the story ends by asking, what should happen next, right? The end is how I read that. Really? That's the point of life? Give, 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 take, 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 and the tree is the only happy one? The end, like the middle of the story, is an invitation for us to finally do what we need to do in response to those blessings and generosities of the world. Say thank you. And for God's sake, boy, plant another apple tree. Right? You stole my thunder, Bev, with your first comment. But that's it. That you know, for us to realize the boy gets it, he's got to get off his butt, I say. And that's how I take the end of that tale. And my hope for each of us is that we will find that tree rising to meet our needs as well. And we'll stop there. Thank you for that very, very much. It might feel good to sing, so let's sing number 404. What gift can we bring?